Please turn with me to the Word of God for our instruction in the Gospel of Luke and chapter 21. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 21. If we commence to read at verse 33. Luke chapter 21 and verse 33. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with cares in drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Then early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. And so reads the Holy Word of God for our instruction together this evening. And the subject before us in our study is the advice of our Lord for the last days. The advice of our Lord for the last days. And we read in verse 34 again, but take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. Now, the Lord Jesus has entered Jerusalem with the multitude around him, praising him. They have sung, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The triumphant entry into Jerusalem was the fulfillment of the prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, Zechariah 9, 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. But at the same time as the Lord Jesus was entering Jerusalem, he wept over it because of the hardness of people's hearts, for their failure to accept who he really was. They didn't properly link this event as a fulfillment of prophecy with a spiritual heart. Just and having salvation is spoken of in Zechariah. But justice and salvation for the multitude meant a king delivering from the oppressors, making them a great nation. Later, the ultimate rejection of Christ was led by the religious leaders who hated the law. They wanted him killed. Despite knowing this opposition, the Lord Jesus cleansed the temple, overturning their corrupt practices. He was incredibly courageous for the honor of his Father. He condemned their behavior, describing it as having made his Father's house a den of thieves. And then he healed the sick who came to him. He showed compassion and care for the needy. He was courageous. He was compassionate. And he stood by the children who were praising his name. He defended them against the anger of the leaders. He taught daily in the temple while the religious leaders at the same time sought to destroy him. But they could not find a reason. All the people listened to his teaching very attentively. And at the end of his public teaching ministry, the focus was upon the coming destruction of the temple in AD 70. But not only this, it was also about the signs at the end of the world, the state of the world, the unusual events leading up to that time. And in the midst of this teaching are these words, which are a remarkable assurance for the Lord's people. And this verse, I'm just going to quote, comes just before our study text this evening. It's in verse 33 of Luke 21. heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The word of our Lord endures forever. This is our comfort. His word is sure, and our eternal future is safe, as long and only as we are resting in him and resting on his word. But following this promise, there then follows advice, particularly for the Lord's people, on what their attitude should be for today. It is a warning truly for unbelievers, but it is also advice for the Lord's people, so as to be prepared for the end of the world that will come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And as we consider these verses before us this evening, I would like to consider them in four ways: worldliness, warning, watchfulness, and worthiness. Worldliness, warning, watchfulness, and worthiness. These are the four aspects, the four aspects of the teaching of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So first of all, worldliness. Worldliness checked. Jesus says in verse 34, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly." Now here the Lord is warning about a worldly, materialistic lifestyle, and he gives us three characteristics of this lifestyle. But first he calls us to take heed to ourselves. This is very personal to each one of us. This is not about us judging one another's lifestyle, looking around us horizontally. It's rather an inward look. Take heed to yourselves. It's a personal examination of ourselves, because we will stand before God on that day as individuals. Take heed to your heart, for out of the heart the lifestyle is governed. Where is your heart? Where is my heart this evening? Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. So Jesus is speaking to proactively warn us here, lest your hearts. Look out for the signs. Take heed the warning. The current crisis is a warning from the Lord. He has taken away for a time such freedom, much freedom, that we've just taken for granted. Our lifestyles we've just taken for granted, going on from year to year. And these events, which are now affecting each one of us, they are shaking us up. Many people are dying. People that we know and love. People are suffering. And it is vital that the warning of the Lord at such a time is not wasted on us. Take heed to yourselves. Be warned. Be aware of God's merciful warning and wake-up calls. These are the words of the Lord Jesus, remember, just before he went to Calvary. The Lord Jesus then moves on to describe the effect of our life being governed by the spirit of the world. And as I said before, he gives three characteristics. First of all, carousing. And now this word has the meaning of being excessively involved in pleasures and entertainment. Now God gives us providential blessings to enjoy, but they must be enjoyed in their right place, and they are not to be a replacement for our walk with God. They have their right place, but we can only enjoy them properly and with real pleasure if they are in their right place and they are not a replacement. The Lord Jesus describes a lifestyle here that has actually been overrun and overwhelmed, and the effect this has upon people in their lives. So carousing, we might consider obsessions. It means to be excessively involved in pleasures and entertainment. We could consider obsessions with holidays. Some people, even Christians, will take 5-6 holidays a year. They become obsessed with holidays. People can become obsessed with the internet, with films, hobbies, possessions, drinking, sport, food. We can become gluttonous over our food. The effect of which overburdens us, so distracting us from our walk with God, and we become lethargic spiritually. Our hearts are weighed down with distractions in our life, and this affects our attitude and spiritual appetite. We become carnally minded rather than heavenly minded, and the outcome is time-bound thinking. The word also here means a mind seizure, to the extent of giving a headache, as being like the after effects of having too much to drink. Our mind is locked, affected. It affects everything about us and the way we are. Remember, the Lord Jesus is speaking here proactively. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down. It's like a proactive warning for us. If we have already backslidden into this type of lifestyle, then there's a way back to God from these pathways. But for those of us that perhaps are slipping into this lifestyle, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down. And then Jesus speaks of drunkenness. This has the meaning of staggering about, not only with the effects of alcohol, but you become like a drunken man. And the problem of drunkenness is not only the public display of being out of control, but our words are out of control also. And then if we become involved with this overwhelming lifestyle of materialism and entertainment and the like, we will become double-minded in our thinking and witness, and we'll be staggering about in our effective testimony. When left to ourselves, we are like those described in Psalm 107, staggering about like drunken men. And here is also meant without moral restraint, not sifting what we open our minds to, so being affected negatively. But then, the third characteristic our Lord warns us about is being overwhelmed with the cares of this life. Here is meant using the legitimate God-given provisions in a manner and being affected by them in a manner that they continually overwhelm us. Our families, which are a blessed gift from God, do bring with them great responsibilities, especially if we have a needy child or a larger family. Even greater pressure in care is required of parents. So the Lord is not talking here about the high calling of parenthood and motherhood particularly, which is in itself a creative ordinance, and a family being brought up in the fear and nurture of the Lord is a real blessing and witness. But the Lord is warning us about the cares of this life, and we might consider, for example, where children become the complete centre of our attention, and they will become totally and willfully demanding. Our time will revolve around their entertainment, and in such cases this can hinder us in our walk with the Lord. But being overwhelmed can also happen in our workplaces. We are called to be diligent in business, not overwhelmed by it. And when we become overwhelmed by it, it can actually become a reason in our minds for not praying or serving the Lord, and a provision from God can be taken even by Satan, attempt us to use it, that very provision, as a distraction.
and so we need great wisdom. We are blessed with incredible communication aids, but such a time can become a real time waster if we use them loosely. So much time can be taken up with them, we lose track of our time, and so we are hindered in our walk with God. We look back over the day, we think ourselves to have been very busy, but there has been no thought for God. Oftentimes, sadly, we become overwhelmed with communication. And so in these crisis days, we are called as the Lord's people to examine our lives and to refocus upon the essentials. We are called to pray urgently for the families in need, the aged, the needy, the vulnerable, for the bereaved families. Thousands of people are dying, and the most urgent need of the day is for the gospel in both word and deed. And prayer is one of the great deeds of the gospel, and prayer requires time. And Jesus is saying, watch and pray. There are so many opportunities at such a time as this to do good in word and deed to our neighbours. This is God's time, not only to warn the wicked, but to lovingly warn believers to examine our own lives. Remember, these are some of the last words of the Lord Jesus in his teaching ministry before Calvary, and he's warning us lovingly and firmly. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly.
And then secondly, the main heading, warning, a warning respected. Verse 35, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Jesus is speaking here of the last days, his coming again. The snare here is meant in the sense that you do not expect it. Suddenly you are entrapped, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. All who dwell on the earth will be affected on this inescapable day, and the issue here is one of being prepared for this day. Do not live as though time is all there is worry about. Jesus speaks of this in Matthew 24. He speaks of these days. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. The prepared ones will be taken, they will be ready to be with Jesus. Luke 17, verse 26, again the words of Jesus, and as in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. But he described this lifestyle. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they brought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So the Lord Jesus is describing this type of lifestyle when everything is about materialism, entertainment, just living without eternity in our perspective. But Jesus then, thirdly, provides for us the right attitude and exercise. So now we come on to the from the warning to the instruction. Watch and pray. Luke 21 and verse 36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus is saying here, watch, be alert, be ready for his second coming. Be those who are living for this day. But how is it that we show that we are ready? Well, these words, watch and pray, have a very deep and profound meaning. It means for us to live in the very expectation of his second coming. This is a challenge for us, and these times that we are now living in, they bring us it more into focus. Do we live in the expectation of his coming? It implies that a great change of thinking has developed in our lives to our own position before the Lord. We are watching and praying. It means the whole attitude of life has changed from independence from God to dependence upon God. It means we view life and its events from a biblical perspective. We respond in the way the Lord calls. It means to observe, to watch, to take note of any situation, to do so in a serious manner, understanding its implications. So, for example, when we see the effects of the pandemic, we are moved by the vulnerability of life as we know it, and that we've come to expect, and even to be part of. Suddenly, in a matter of days, matters can change. Life is turned upside down. Now, in these last days, the Lord has allowed in his permissive will that all the world knows about these events. 100 years ago, events such as earthquakes and plagues would take some weeks to be known, and they would be more limited because of communication and travel, etc., and the information and the effect. But today, as the day of the Lord approaches and Christ is returning, God is ensuring all the world knows and knows speedily. In a matter of seconds, news is in a split second is broadcast throughout the whole world. People with internet can know what was going on in Wuhan. The world knew. The world was being warned. All the world was being warned about what was happening, that there was a danger, that there were there could be a potential pandemic here. And as we come to the last days, God in his merciful, loving kindness and amazing goodness, even despite such a terrible plague, the Lord is ensuring all the world knows and is warned speedily. So it is we are increasingly responsible before the Lord. And so even more so, we are called powerfully today to watch and to pray. This command does not mean that you are to spend all day watching the news. It means to watch and to respond to the message of the news from a biblical perspective. It requires prayer. It requires a response as a Christian. These are God's warnings. They are his challenges to the church also. We are to be those who are ready, like the wise virgins with oil in their lamps. The events provide a solemn reminder of the vulnerability of this world. The timing of these events provide a solemn reminder to us that Christ is coming again. Watch and pray. Man ought always to pray and not to faint. And the Lord Jesus taught this while here upon earth. Prayer was so important to him that when he was here on earth, it was his means of communication, communion in his soul with his Father in heaven. And Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer is important because it is God's will that we pray. This is God's provision for us. It's essential for our spiritual growth and fellowship with God. God has chosen to build the church together with prayer. There can be no real blessing on our work for the Lord without prayer. We may have the right words, but there won't be power unless it's bathed in prayer. I'm talking specifically here about the preaching ministry. It's very important that we pray and seek the Lord's blessing. Because of the example of Jesus Christ while here upon earth, we come again to his example. In Luke 6, we read, "It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. He continued all night in prayer to God." We know he prayed before he chose the disciples. But I want to notice, in conclusion on this point, the teaching of the Apostle Peter on this subject. He had been with the Lord. He had heard his teaching. And in 1 Peter 4:7, Peter says, "But the end of all things is at hand." This is a word for us today. How to respond. And Peter says, "Therefore, because of this, be serious and watchful in your prayers." Serious prayer, watchful praying. Oh, watch and pray. And then fourthly and finally, worthy. Worthy. And so Jesus speaks here, "Watch therefore and pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." How can we be counted worthy to escape the judgment of God? How can we stand before the Son of Man? How can we escape and be rescued from a never-ending eternity in hell? Our worthiness is most certainly not of ourselves. We are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. No, if we are to stand before the Son of Man to be counted worthy, our worthiness is all wrapped up in the worthiness of Christ. And it's provided for us freely by grace in the here and the now. This is the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ has gone before. He has provided for us a robe of righteousness. He suffered, bled, and died upon Calvary's cross for all those that put their trust in him, ordained unto eternal life. Our escape is only possible as we trust the merit and finished work upon Calvary in Christ Jesus the Lord. Our standing before the Son of Man can only be possible as he views us in his own righteousness. And our walk being that which is watching and praying, watchfulness and prayerfulness are evidences of our true faith in Christ. The hymn writer speaks so beautifully of this. "Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in that great day. For who aught to my charge shall lay? While through thy blood absolved I am from sin and fear, from guilt and shame." Blessed righteousness. This is Christ's righteousness. This is how we're going to be able to stand worthy. Worthiness wrapped up in the worthiness of Christ. We are told in the last day that many will cry out for the rocks to fall upon them. There will be a great confusion and hiding. But for the Lord's people, they will be lifted up. to join the whole church of the living God, and they will stand before Christ and stand before him with humility and yet joy, with wonder and amazement, saved by grace. And so, as we come to conclusion this evening, the Lord Jesus has called on his people, and I would say this again, I trust very kindly and with a loving heart, examine our lives, focus upon what are the essentials of the Christian life. And here the Lord Jesus gives us two particular essentials: watch and pray. Our walk with God in prayer, our witness in this world, our watchfulness to be ready. Take heed to yourselves this evening. Our Lord is warning us, beware the problem of materialism taking over our thinking and witness, overwhelming us, the cares of this world, and even becoming a reason why we don't take opportunities, gospel opportunities. We don't redeem the time. Watch and pray, the two key requirements of the Lord's people to be ready. May the Lord add his blessing then to this study.